Today's shiur is Masech Teksuvas Daf Mem Dalad. It's for Schus, for Shalom and Bracha to have Refu Shlema. We will begin on Daf Mem Dalam and Aleph, three lines from the top, Amamar. In our previous shiur, Rav Huna had taught us that if somebody presents two shtaris with two ksubas, with two different dates, Namara spoke about one shtar had the date. The earlier shtar was in the amount of 200 zuz, and the later shtar was in the amount of 300 zuz. The Gemara said, boy, b'hai gavya. He has a right to choose with whichever shtar to collect. Says the Gemara, Lema pliga the Rav Nachman. Should we say the Rav Huna disagrees with Rav Nachman? Damar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman taught us, shnei shtar sayotim zachazah. If there are two shtaris on the same transaction, a loan or a gift, that are presented one of both of shtaris, and one has an earlier date and one has a later date, Reb Nachman's opinion is bitel hasheni sheni asarishin. The second shtar is considered the more valid shtar. And therefore, let's say we know that if somebody takes a loan, so all of his assets become mortgaged to that loan. So let's say somebody took a loan between the date of the first shtar and the date of the second shtar. If we say that the second shtar is the shtar that the halacha considers the valid shtar, so then anything that this person owned till the date of the second shtar is mortgaged to the loan. If, on the other hand, we consider the first shtar the correct shtar, so then the mortgage begins from the first date. So the Gemara says, "Bitel sheni sarishin." The second shtar is the shtar that we follow. And Rav Huna, on the other hand, as we just mentioned, says that when we have two shtaris, the woman has a right to make a decision well which shtar he's going to collect, but not that the second shtar completely supersedes the first shtar. Says the Gemara, there is not necessarily a machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, because says the Gemara, lav mi et malo, have we not learned Omer Papa Moider of Nachman, the oiser by dikla, that if the second shtar is not exactly identical to the first shtar, then the second shtar is not considered as if it supersedes the first shtar. And Hachinami, in the case that we've been discussing, in the case that Rav Huna has been discussing, the second shtar had a ksuba for 300 zuz. The first shtar had a ksuba for 200 zuz. That's why, since Ha'oisuf Lamida, since the second shtar has something added to the first shtar, that makes the second shtar and first shtar both valid. Gufa. So the Gemara goes into this halacha. If two shtars are on the same transaction, one with a later date than the first shtar, the later shtar and the first shtar with different dates, says Rav Nachman, bitel hasheni asarishin. The second shtar nullifies the first shtar. Va'mer Papa, but says Rav Papa, as we just learned, Moide Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman agrees, the Yosef by Dikla, that if you added in the second shtar is not exactly identical. There's another tree, there's another anything in the second shtar. So then we say, L'toisvus Kasvei, that the reason the second shtar was written is because of that emendation, and that's why one is not stronger than the other one. Says the Gemara further, Pshita, it's obvious to us, suggests the Gemara, Rishim B'mecher. If the first shtar says that this property was sold, in Sheni, the second shtar says it was matana, it was a gift. We say liyapis koichu de kosef. The reason the second shtar was written is because they wanted to give the person who's getting the field an extra benefit. B'shemdina de bab metzra. The Gemara, Masech Baba Metzia Daf Kuf Ches Omer Beis, teaches us that the halacha is that if somebody is selling a property, his bar metzra, the people who are his neighbors, have right of first refusal. But that's only by a sale. Because the buyer, the neighbors could say, instead of having sold it to this individual, sell it to us, so we would have paid the same amount. But however, when a field is given, when a property is given as a gift, we're not talking about selling, and there could be a claim, well, why did you sell to somebody else? Why did you sell to somebody else and not sell it to me? The reason it was sold to somebody else, it was given to somebody else, obviously I wanted to give him a gift, not give you a gift. So by having a feel, a shtar with a bar mitzvah, the halacha is that's why he wrote the second shtar. And Tosfos explains, so now what happens if there's going to be a din Torah, explains Tosfos. Meaning the neighbors bring this recipient or the person who owned the field actually to a din Torah and says, why did you sell it to the second person and not sell it to us? What should he do? What should he do? When he comes to the din Torah, he should conceal the first shtar. He should conceal the shtar that indicates that this was a sale, and rather just present the shtar that says it was a gift. And because if it's a gift, there is no issue of bar mitzvah. So many achronim actually and rishonim discuss this. And they say, so actually what Tosfos is suggesting is really not that honest. Because the person who got the shtar really knows that this is a situation of a bar mitzvah. And since he knows it's a situation of bar mitzvah, how does he have the right to that really the first shtar was a mecher? And there is a legitimate bar mitzvah din Torah. How does he have a right to hide it? And because of that, I saw the Rishonim, the Rashba explains that he has to show both shtaris. But he still, by showing both shtaris, and he'll show that one of the shtaris represents that it was a matana, it's enough for him to win the din Torah. But other Rishonim follow the approach, as Tosfos just suggested, that you could conceal the shtar. And of course, the question is, how could you conceal the shtar? So the Nesiva says that if the person who got the field, who bought the field, is aware that this second shtar, which was a shtar matana, was written for this dishonest intention, he has no right to conceal the shtar. Tosfos, the Nesiva explains that the person really knows and believes that this was a gift, and therefore he's not doing anything wrong. The Prisha, however, has that even though the person knows, the recipient of the field, knows that he originally bought the field, but if he knows that since the person could have given him the field as a matana, even though that's not actually what happened, as long as he could have given it to him as a gift, and then there would be no bar mitzvah din Torah, it's enough for him not to have to show that shtar. Says the Gemara, v'koshkein, and certainly, if the rishon, if the first shtar was a shtar matana, and the sheni, and the second shtar was a shtar mecher, aminin, we said, m'shamdina d'bal choyfu d'koshkein. Because when somebody gets something as a gift, he has a loss. What is the loss? The halacha is that if I buy a property from somebody, and this property was a property which was mortgaged. So if I buy a property and it's a mortgaged property, and then the person who's holding the mortgage on the property indeed collects the property because the person who bought the person who had sold the property owed the money before. The halacha is the person who afterwards bought that property has a very valid claim and could go back to the person who sold him the property to get back his money or for recourse. I bought a property which I didn't have a chance to keep. But if somebody gets a property as a gift, so it's very nice that he got a gift, but if the property that he received as a gift is taken away from him because there was a mortgage in that property and that lien was exercised, he doesn't have recourse back to the person who gave him the gift because it's a gift. And if you have it, if you got it, if you're able to keep it, great.
And if you weren't able to keep it because a mortgage was exercised, that's what happens. So says the Gemara, certainly if there was a case where it was first a shtar matana, which as we just explained, comes with this disadvantage that if it's taken away, you have no recourse. And then the seller turned it into a mechira that gives you that advantage, certainly we could understand why the second shtar is valid over the first shtar. Ella says the Gemara, what is the case where Rav Nachman says that the second shtar is stronger than the first, it nullifies the first shtar? Says the Gemara, b'shneim b'mecher, if both shtars were a sale, or both shneim were a matana, then the halacha is, since both shtars, there's no advantage in either shtar over the other shtar, that's where Rav Nachman says, b'tel sheni sarishin, the second shtar supersedes the first shtar. Ask the Gemara, my tama, why is that the halacha? Says the Gemara, two reasons. Raf mamar, aduya odalei, Since the second shtar has a later date than the first shtar, so why would anybody accept the second shtar? This is already a transaction that's been sealed. Why did he accept the second shtar? It must be that they're admitting that the first shtar was a forgery, the first shtar is something wrong, and that's why they had to write the second shtar. And that's a proof that the second shtar is the correct shtar and the first shtar is the incorrect shtar. Rav Acha gives a different reason why the second shtar supersedes the first shtar. Achuli achli l'shabudei. The second shtar, what that accomplishes is that, as we said, that when you have a shtar, your recourse back to the person who sold you the shtar, who sold you the property, if it's taken away from you because of a mortgage, begins from the day of the date of the shtar. The later the date in the shtar, the later is the date that you have recourse back to the person who sold you the property. And what the Gemara is teaching us is that what the person who agreed to the later date is actually indicating, what the person who's agreeing to the later date, he's giving up his rights, that his rights to come back if the property is taken away from him by the mortgage is not from the earlier date of the first shtar, but rather it's from the later date of the second shtar. So ask the Gemara, my benayim. So the Gemara just gave us two reasons why the second shtar is considered stronger than the first shtar. So the Gemara wants to know, my benayim, what is the nafkamina? The result is the same, that the second shtar is considered stronger than the first shtar. Answers the Gemara Ikka Benai. The Gemara identifies a number of nafkaminas. Aruyas Sadi. Will the people who signed the first shtar be declared as disqualified Edom? According to Raphram, who says that by writing the second shtar, you're declaring that the first shtar was a forgery. So that means the people who are on that shtar are considered Edom Psulim. According to Rav Acha, it's not because there's anything wrong with the first shtar. Just, he agreed to start the clock from a later time. That doesn't disqualify the shtar. So Taisus asks, how can we disqualify the Edom? Why asks Taisus, is this a case where the Edom are automatically disqualified? How could he just say, by saying I accept the second shtar, why could his say-so be enough to disqualify the Edom? Says Taisus, what the Gemara says, that when the Gemara says that he disqualifies the Edom, it doesn't mean that they become automatically disqualified. As far as he's concerned, because he, by saying that I wrote the second shtar, I agreed to the second shtar, because the first shtar was a forgery, so as far for his personal situations, those Edom apostle, because he's saying the apostle, but not that we will automatically accept for the whole world that these Edom apostle. Another pshat that Taisa says, that when he says that he took the first star is a forgery. So he's saying that when I took these Edim, that I took them as false witnesses. And again, Tosfos is saying only it could affect only him. We can't just make them disqualify for the rest of the world. But any star that he will be a party to, and these Edim signed on, as far as he's concerned, the halacha will be that it's possible. But now, ask the Ritva, what would be the halacha if the same Edim who was signed on the first star are the exact same Edim who was signed on the second star? So ask the Ritva, if Raphim is saying that what he's declaring is that the Edim who was signed on the first star, apostle, as the Gemara just said, they were because it's a forgery, so how can we trust the second star if you took those same Edim? Those Edim, according to you, are Edim Psulim. So Ritva says, what he says is that when they signed the first star, they forged the first star. And that's why they're apostle, as the Gemara just said. That's why the star is apostle, because it's a forgery. And now, when he took them and signed the second star with them, he declared that they did tshuva. Another pshat that the Ra'ah suggests, that he's saying that at that time, there were people, the Gemara says, that one type of people, apostle from Edim, to be Edim, are individual who are Mesachke Bekuvya, gamblers. And he says, now they've stopped gambling. Another nafkamina will be Shalume Peiris. That what will be the halacha, will the buyer start bought the property and he started eating the fruit of the property. Or if it's a building, he started collecting the rent. So what will be the halacha with that rent money that between the date of the first star and the date of the second star? According to Raphim, who says that the first star is disqualified star, the date is really only from the second star. So he had no right to collect anything, any rent, any payris, till the date of the second star. And anything, any payris that he ate, any rent that he collected, he would have to return. According to Rav Acha, the sale was from the original date. He just agreed that the halacha of lekuchas should begin from the second date, but it's really his from the first date, and therefore he's entitled to eat the payris and collect the rent. Another nafkamina suggests the Gemara is lataska, or who has to pay the real estate tax. So according to Raphim, who says that the deal only happened from the second date, that means till then, it was the original person's property. Since it was the original person's properties, the seller's property until the date of the second star, he's obligated to pay the real estate. According to Rav Acha, it became the property from the first date. It's only a question, the other details. And since that's the only issue, he became the owner, that's a detail. But as far as ownership is concerned, he became the owner from the first date, and therefore he has to pay the real estate tax from the first date. So the Rishonim ask a question, how can a person, by making a declaration, saying that this date, that this star is a good star, the halacha is that, why don't we look at, why is this considered not the continuation of the previous example? Because whoever eats the payris should be the one should have to pay the income tax. Says the Piskei Rid that these two halachas do not necessarily travel together. And a person could be the individual who eats the payris and not have to pay the real estate tax or vice versa. So ask the Gemara. We've discussed a machlokes of Huna of Asi. At what point could a woman collect her ksuba from the chasum shabadim? Is it from the time of Nesuin or is it the time from Erisin? So ask the Gemara, at what point does the mortgage begin? Ask that every ksuba carries with it. May have a lot of ksuba. Ask the Gemara, what is the halach as far as the ksuba is concerned? Toshma, Dom Rav Yehuda of Mishmul, Mishum Rav Elazar of Shimon, Mana or Messiahim. The Mana or Messiahim that are written in the Ksuba are mortgaged from the time of the Erison. The Tysus Ksuba that we spoke about, that the husband has
and commonly does add above the basic minimum that one has to put into the ksuba is from the nesuin. The Acham Aymrim, Echad Zeh Vechad Mezeh, both of them are from the time of the nesuin. Vilchasen, that's what the Gemara says, is the halacha, is min nesuin. There's a machloikus rishonim. This that was saying that it starts from the time of the nesuin. Is it only because that is the date in the ksuba? But if the date in the ksuba is the date of the erusin, we collect from the time of the erusin, or do we always collect from the time of the nesuin? And it's an interesting question. Machlokes Rishonim. Some say that if we put into the shtar the date of the nesuin, we put into the shtar the date of the erusin, we collect from the time of the erusin. Others say that we could, that the mortgage begins always from the time of nesuin. The Torah says that if a nara, if a girl is a nara from 12 and 12 and a half years old, she had erusin and she's a basula, and she had an adulterous relationship, she's chayiv misa. Not only is she chayiv misa, but she's chayiv misa skila b'shari ir. As the Torah says, ki a nara basula marosol ish, umatzi ish b'ir v'shachif ima, v'itzeis m'shnei m'shnei ashara ir ahi, v'skaltem oysom b'avonim meisu. This is only when this took place while she was a rusa and a nara. If she was nesua, and the husband, she already had nesuin, and the husband brings Adam, this is what happened, that's when she's killed at that, the base, then she's killed a Pesach Beis Havio. As the Pasuk says, V'mamas hayadava, hazeh, lo nimtza basulam la nara, v'yitzis nara Pesach Beis Havio, v'seklua anche an ira avonim v'meisa, kiosu naval b'Yisrael, lizness Beis Havio, v'yata b'rechem mikabecha. All of these halachas that I just mentioned is only by a rusa. If a woman already had nesuin, and then she's a full-fledged eishes ish, and then she has an adulterous relationship, then the misa she has is chenek. The Mishnah now begins to discuss the case of a moitzi shemra. Moitzi shemra is when a husband after the nesuin claims that his wife had an adulterous relationship while she was in Arusa, he brings Adam to that fact. So if it turns out that what he said is true, as we just learned, the Nara, this girl is Chayiv Skila. But let's say it turns out that these Adam were saying false testimony. The halach is that the husband has to pay a fine of Meir Sloim, 100 Sloim, to the father of this girl. He's Chayiv Malchus, and he can never divorce her. That's the halacha of a Moitzi Shemra. Furthermore, the Torah, when it speaks about Moitzi Shemra, keeps on using the word Yisrael. So here we learn, as our Mishnah is about to begin to teach us, that all of the halachas of Moitzi Shemra only apply to a Bas Yisrael. And the question that the Mishnah will immediately begin to discuss, what would be the halacha if the girl is a Geyoris? When do the halachas of Moitzi Shemra apply? And when do the halacha of Moitzi Shemra do not apply? So says the Mishnah, Geyoris is Geyra Bita Ima. If you have a woman who's a Geyoris, that was Megayer herself with her daughter. And even if at the time of the Geyrus, this girl was under 3 years old, so since we've learned many times, the Geyrus of a girl under 3 years old, such a girl, even though we are concerned on all Akum that they're not Besulis, this girl, since she's less than 3 years old, when she became a Geyrus, we consider her a Besula. And this girl, Zinsa, had this adulterous relationship while she was a Nara Murasa, this, the din of Skila, the special din of skila that we spoke about in our introductory remarks do not apply. Rather, halacha is harezu b'chenek. She's chayiv chenek like any eishes ish that was mezanam. Ein lo, and the second halacha that we said, that if it's true she stoned a Pesach Beis Avav, that rule doesn't apply. She doesn't have the rule of Pesach Beis Av, and she doesn't have the rule that we said that you have to pay the halacha meisela. The reason there's no Pesach Beis Aviyah, because she has no yichus to her father. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw that the Rishonim explained, that the halacha of Pesach Beis Aviyah travels together with skila. And since, as we just said, this girl is not going to have skila, this girl is going to have chenek, the din of Pesach Beis Aviyah doesn't apply. Because the halacha of skila is only by a girl who was born as a Jew. Next case, Haisa Rosh Shloi B'Kedusha, when she was conceived, her mother was not yet a Geyoris. However, V'Leidosa B'Kedusha, by the time she was born, her mother was already a Geyoris. So this girl, Hareza B'Skila, she's considered a Bas Yisrael, and she has the halacha that a Bas Yisrael, while she's a Nara Marasa, is Mezana. The halacha is that she has the din of Skila. However, the din of Besach Beis Av that we spoke about doesn't apply. And similarly, the din of Meisela doesn't apply to this girl. If you have a girl, that her mother became a Geyoris, and she was only conceived after the mother was a Geyoris, and therefore she was certainly born after the mother was a Geyoris. So this girl, even though she's the daughter of a Geyoris, such a girl, Harei Kibas Yisrael B'chol Dvara, she's considered a full-fledged Jewish girl, and all the halachas that we mentioned, Pesach Beis Aviyah and the Knas, all apply to her. Says the Mishnah further, Yesh Le'av, if she still has a father, but Eilei Pesach Beis Av, the father does not have his own house. And as the Miri explains, let's say the father obviously lives somewhere, but he doesn't own the house in which he lives. He rents the house. And the person, the landlord, does not want that people should say that in front of his house there's such a terrible thing happening. Then the halacha is that the landlord could say, I don't want to allow the daughter to be stoned in front of my door. And the way Rabbi Yoshev Zatzal understands what the Miri says is that if somebody rents an apartment, if somebody rents a house, that house is considered his. And the halacha Pesach Beis Av can and should apply. What the Mishnah is teaching us, according to the Miri, says Rebbe Yoshev, is that the landlord could say, and therefore it's up to the landlord, it's his option, he could say, it's embarrassing to me that such a thing should happen in front of my home, skila, and I'm protesting it shouldn't happen. But if the landlord won't say anything, then the din of Pesach Beis Av would apply. Ein le'av, let's say, Yesh le'av, ein le'Pesach Beis Av, or Yesh le'Pesach Beis Av, the father does own a home. However, ein le'av, the father is no longer alive. Or, in these cases, says the Mishnah, Hareza B'Skila, she's Chayiv Skila, Le'nema Pesach Beis Av, we can't fulfill the obligation of Pesach Beis Av, says the Gemara, the Pesach Beis Av and the Skila don't necessarily travel together. And you could have Skila even if you're not fulfilling the Pesach Beis Av. For says the Gemara, Le'nema Pesach Beis Av, the obligation that this should take place in Pesach Beis Av, Le'nema Ela Mitzvah, it's only a Mitzvah L'chatchila. Begins the Gemara, anonymously. From where do we know that the halacha is that a geyoris, that her rasa shalai b'gedusha, she was conceived when the mother was not yet a geyoris. However, v'leidasa b'gedusha, by the time she was born, her mother was already a geyoris, that her and she had an adulterous relationship while she was a meresa, so not a meresa, the loch applies to her. Says the Gemara, Amr Shlokisht Amr Kra, Osuklu Anshi Aira Bavarim for Mesa. And the word Mesa is superfluous. Tells us the Gemara to learn from it, the rabbis, Hirasa Shleib Kedusha, the Leidasa Kedusha. The Gemara is teaching that even such a girl is Chayiv Skila. Says the Gemara, if we're saying that that is her halacha, Ihochi asked the Gemara, Milka namila liki, or mea sela namila shalim. So then all the other halachas should apply as well, that the husband, if it's a Maitzi Shemra, should be Chayiv Malkus and have to pay the mea sela. Why did the Mishnah say that you don't have to pay the mea sela? If we're treating her, asked the Gemara, if we're treating her like a Bas Yisrael, so all of the halachas should apply. Answers the Gemara, Amakro Mesa. Lemisa Nisrapsa, the halacha of Misa applies to her, but the other halachas of Knas do not apply to her. Ask the Gemara, the Ema, why are we saying that the extra word Umesa, that we began this piece of Gemara saying is coming to teach us. If she was Mezana as a Nara Marasa, she's Chayiv Skila, maybe we should use the word Mesa to teach us that the conception and the birth were when the mother was Jewish. Such a girl has the halacha of Skila. Says the Gemara, for such a girl, I don't need a pasuk. Because I hear Yisrael Ma'al Yisrael. Such a girl is a full-fledged Yisraelis. And if she's a full-fledged Yisraelis, of course, all of the rules of a Yisraelis apply to her. Veima, asked the Gemara, the other extreme. Veima, Hiras V'leidasa Shalai B'Kedusha. And still, she'll have the din of Skila. Answers the Gemara. Im Kain, Yisrael Ma'hanilei. Then the Torah, as we said when we started the Mishnah, kept on saying the word Yisrael. If coming to teach us something, if we say that every type of Geyrus has the din of Skila, what is the word Yisrael coming to eliminate? The Meshech Chachma says that we, Reish Lakish has taught us that the Mesa comes La Rabbis, Hayrasa Shalai B'Kedusha V'Leidasa B'Kedusha. So ask the Meshech Chachma that very often when the Torah uses the word V'Skaltam B'Avonim, the Torah says Umeis, Umesu. And the Gemara doesn't ask, why did the Torah have to say Mesu? If we're doing Skila, obviously he's going to die. And in our Gemara, Reish Lakish is saying that the word Mes is superfluous, and I'm using it for a drasha. So says the Meshech Chachma that the drasha in our Gemara is really not from the word Mesa, because that is not necessarily considered an extra word. It's a word that we find that the Torah often expresses itself that way. Rather, he says, the pasuk begins al ziknei ir, and then the pasuk says zeklu kalanshi iray. The pasuk is speaking to the people that were killed. So the pasuk should have said, why does the pasuk change from anshi iray? Why is the pasuk trying to teach us? The pasuk is trying to teach us because why is the pasuk focused on the anshi iray if we're killing her by the base av? To teach us that even if she's from a city, suggests the Meshech Chachma, that most of the people in the city are not Jewish, and she's a Geyrus, even though she's a Geyrus, there could be a case of a Geyrus that will be Chayiv Skila when it was Harasa Shalai B'Kedusha V'Leidos B'Kedusha. Says the Gemara Amar Rav Yosef Chanina, HaMotzi Shemra Al Yisoyma. There's a girl whose father passed away, and the husband brought Edom that she had an adulterous relationship while she was in Arusa, and then those Edom became disqualified. They were Muslim. We say, how could you possibly say this? Immanuel Yisem, you were with us elsewhere. Potter, the obligation of the Mei Kesef, this is the example of a Moitzi Shemra, doesn't apply. Shnemar, because says the Gemara, the din of Moitzi Shemra, the Pasuk says, V'nosnu Navia Nara. Prat Lazu Shein Layav, if she doesn't have a father, the din of Moitzi Shemra does not apply. The pasuk says, "The parsha mafata." The pasuk says, "V'mon yemon avia l'sitaloi." If the father refuses to allow his daughter to marry the mafata, says the Torah, "Kesef yishkal k'may apsulas." And we learned that we learned the fact that the Torah says ma in your mind, the rabbi says soimel knas divrei Rav Yosi Galili, that we see that if the girl that they were ma'anis was a yisoima, the halacha is that the rules still apply. Even though, asked the Gemara, the pasuk in that parasha says, v'nosin isha shaychivi ma'ilavi anara chamishim kasef. So we see that even if the father is not alive, the halacha still applies. Answers the Gemara, hu ma'isv lo, v'hu ma'farak lo, hu babala v'akach nasyasma. That limud, that even though the girl is a yisoima, the halacha applies, that's only when she was not a yisoima at the time of the oinus. But if she was a yisoima, she would indeed be excluded. Rava Amma, Rava disagrees. And Rava says that a mighty shemer al yisoima is chayiv. Says the Gemara Mamai, from where does Rava learn this din? Says the Gemara Midatani Ami, from a brice that was taught us by Ami. The pasuk says, regarding a mighty shemer, we learn from this, Besulas Yisrael, as we've been discussing, V'lai Besulas Geirim. If she's a Geiris, the din of Mitzi Shemra doesn't apply. So makes the Gemara its point. If we're going to say that when a girl has no father, then there's a locha of Knas, of Mitzi Shemra anyway. So that's why we need a pasuk to tell us that Geirim are excluded. That Geirim don't have this halacha. But says the Gemara, Eli Amrit, Yisrael ke gavna potter, that if a girl is a Yisoima, there is no din amotzi shemra, so it has to be Yisrael potter. If a girl had a father, just a Jewish father, just unfortunately he passed away, we're saying there's no din amotzi shemra, certainly by a Geiris, which as the Rishonim point out, we know that a Geiris is not considered as if she has a father. And there are two explanations in the Rishonim why. One is because we have a locha of Gershon Zgair Kekotin Shanayla Dami. So when a Geiris becomes a Geiris, she's considered as if she's newborn and she's not connected and related to her father. That's one pshat. The other pshat that I saw is that we've learned earlier the pasuk when it describes the zera of Akum says kizirmas susim zirmasim. The relationship is like an animal, and therefore she's not considered a father. So it's certainly she's certainly no less. If anything, she's even more than a yisoima. So why begerim ibai? Why do we need a pasuk to say that the din of mitzi shemra doesn't apply begerim? It must be that a yisoima does have a din of mitzi shemra. And therefore, the Gemara is teaching us that even though the Yisoima has a din of Mitzi Shemra, the Geiris does not. Amar Shlokesh, Mitzi Shemra al Ktana. If somebody is Mitzi Shemra an Ktana, and he says that while she was a Ktana and a Rusa, she had an adulterous relationship. And then it turns out that what he's saying is not true. Potter. Shinamar Lavia Nara. And the pasuk uses the word narrow, and the Torah speaks about narrow. The Torah says narrow. Molei dibar kosef, she has to be a full-fledged narrow. And if she's a ketana, the halacha mitzi shemra doesn't apply. Ask the Gemara, maskul of Rav Acha bar Abba, pam de kosebo hanara. The reason we're saying a ketana doesn't have the din of mitzi shemra is because the Torah uses the word hanara. Halav hachi, if not for that, havamina. Would we think that even a ketana is subject to halacha mitzi shemra? V'ksiv, the pasuk in the parasha mitzi shemra says, "V'me'amis ha'yadav azeh le'nimtza psulim le'nara v'aytis ha'nara pesach b'yisaviv ha'sakluo v'ketana la'bas anshinhi." The Torah says that if it was true, she would be chayv skila, as we discussed. But a ketana can never be chayv skila. Says the Gemara. What Rish Lakish means to say is to teach us that Avada, certainly, the parasha mitzi shemra is only speaking about a nara and not a ketana. And we don't need to teach us any other way, because she certainly can be not, she's certainly not chayv misa if she's a ketana. But to teach us, can, in the parasha mitzi shemra, the word nara is spelled mole, because we're not talking about a ketana as we just explained. Hakamakam shenema nara, if the Torah says nara without the hay, comes to teach us a feel ketana b'mashma, that the Torah when it says that it's talking even about a ketana. And what that means to teach us, as we discussed at the beginning on Daf Chav Tes, that we had a discussion if the parsha of Oynes Mefata is only by Nara, the opinion of Rameya, or is the parsha of Oynes Mefata even by a ketana, the opinion of the Chachamim. And this is a proof to the opinion of the Chachamim, that since the Torah in the parasha of Oynes Mefata spells Nara without the hay, it comes to teach us that Oynes Mefata applies even by a Nara, even by a Ketana. The Rishonim asked the following question. It says, yes, we're saying that the girl who's the subject of the Maitzi Shemran, if it's true, and she did have an adulterous relationship when she was in Arusa, could not be a Ketana, because a Ketana doesn't get Skila. But what about the husband? Maybe the husband, if he was a Gadol, and he said something which was not true, would be subject to his punishment. Says the Shita Mekabatzis, that the Gemara understands that the reason a husband who's Maitzi Shemra is chayv, the punishment, the knas, and the malchus that he got, is not just because he said something libelous about her. The reason he's subject to all of these punishments is because he was trying to get her executed. But in a case where that's not the case, because she's a ketana, so she clearly wasn't going to be executed, therefore he's not subject to the penalty. But there is shayim that disagree with the shita, and they say that the pasuk is quite clear that the reason the Maitzi Shemra gets the punishments that he gets is because of what he said, the libel that he said on his wife. And that is the case whether the girl's a Nara or Ketana. So therefore the Mishnah Melech says that there's a machloikus. The Mishnah Melech says that what is the reason he gets punished? And clearly he holds that the reason the husband gets punished is because he tried to get the wife killed. And in another case, we didn't try to get the wife killed, then the halacha of Maitzi Shemra wouldn't apply. Our Gemara, which teaches us the halacha of Maitzi Shemra, so the Chafetz Chaim, in his Sefer Shmiras HaLoshon, discusses this subject of Maitzi Shemra. And the Chafetz Chaim says that the Isser of Lashon Hara is not only on a gadol, but even if you say Lashon Hara on a cotton, it's still considered Lashon Hara. Because by saying something bad about the cotton, you could cause irreparable damage. And since you could cause irreparable damage, the halacha is that is considered Lashon Hara. And the Chafetz Chaim says that not only are you not allowed to say Lashon Hara on a cotton, even though our Gemara says that all the din of Maitzi Shemra wouldn't apply, but still it would be considered Lashon Hara, says the Chafetz Chaim, you're not allowed to even say Lashon Hara about a person's objects. Somebody owns something, and you say Lashon Hara about something that somebody owns, that too is considered Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara, it depends not on whom you said it. It's what you said. And if what you said is in the category of Lashon Hara, it's considered that you violated that Aveira.